Okay, so our Just for Today reading was helpful to remind us that we don't have to walk this path alone. Even when it feels that we are creating that path as we are walking on it. With that reality in mind, we are focusing today on how virtual meetings are connecting to the service system. Our perspectives in that NA in many places is in a fluid state. When the world changed so abruptly a year ago, many existing groups switched to holding meetings online, and many new meetings started. Most of us had the experience of attending meetings with hundreds of other addicts from places we may never visit, or reconnecting with old friends in recovery. Our fellowship's response to the pandemic not only kept the meeting doors open, but also served as a positive public relations opportunity for Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. Many service bodies struggled to reopen so quickly. Some ceased to meet at all, but others gradually worked out how to navigate this new reality that we were doing today. We have seen many examples of exciting new ways to carry the message into institutions and to interact with professionals that may change NA service forever. The webinar we hosted last December featured some of these service efforts. So if you haven't taken a look at the resources from that meeting, we urge you to do so. They're posted on the virtual meetings page here at www.na.org/virtual. Our current situation is new territory for all of us, and the landscapes may change again as restrictions ease and meetings begin to reopen. Many of the virtual meetings that began a year ago intend to keep meeting virtually and are beginning to discuss how they fit with the rest of NA and participate in NA services. We have systems of service delivery that have grown and changed over decades, but that are largely organised by geography, which presents us with a challenge. How do virtual meetings that may contain members from all over the world participate in a locally based service body? No individual or entity has all the answers to the questions that many of us are asking. And there may not even be answers to all our challenges right now. Despite how uncomfortable many of us find this to be, we are also reminded of this from the second tradition chapter in Guiding Principles. Our experience shows us that NA is strong enough to withstand our growing pains. We want to continue discussing how virtual meetings are connecting to NA service delivery by sharing what we are seeing and hearing, and by listening to what is happening in your communities. Today, we have invited members from 7 NA communities to share some of their experience with us. This will be a 2-hour webinar. I'll start out with some information about the webinar platform itself. Then I'll update everyone about the Local Service Toolbox project and offer a couple of general reminders and updates. After we've heard from our panelists today, there will be time for questions and answers. Then to close out the webinar, I'll remind you all about what's coming next from NA World Services. This is our 5th open webinar related to virtual meetings. We're utilising a webinar platform today as we did for the last 2 webinars. The format is great for larger groups, and we are streaming the webinar onto YouTube at the same time as well. That link is posted on the Local Service Toolbox page, www.na.org/toolbox, and in the chat for this meeting. Attendees will be muted through this whole meeting, but if you have questions about virtual meetings for the board or for one of the presenters, you can type it into the Q&A box at the bottom of your Zoom window. We'll get to as many questions as we can after the presentations and ask that you help us today by only posting your question in English. With a meeting of this size, there will probably be more questions than we can answer. If you have a question that doesn't get addressed today, please write to toolbox@na.org. Your questions also serve as input to the Local Service Toolbox project by helping us to get a sense of what people want to know about and what resources might need to be developed. As with previous webinars, we'll post a report summarising the presentations and the most common questions to the virtual meeting page at www.na.org/virtual sometime after today's meeting. It's our practice not to post videos of members' faces, but we will continue to post the audio recordings as well as the PowerPoint from this webinar. Many of you have heard about the Toolbox project already, but in case you haven't, let me briefly explain. The Local Service Toolbox is one of the projects approved at the last World Service Conference. In previous years, the project produced several tools: GSR Basics, Consensus-Based Decision-Making Basics, and Serving in NA in Rural and Isolated Communities. And these tools are all posted on that page, www.na.org/toolbox. Since the last conference, the project has been focused on virtual meetings and carrying the message effectively and virtually. We've held several large web meetings, posted a survey, and held focused discussions with smaller groups of members to gather material for the project. And we're just going to redo the translation slide. I'm just going to ask all the translators if you wouldn't mind to check in again. Can we hear from the Italian translator, please? Maybe not. Hey.
Se volete seguire questo seminario in italiano, nella barra bassa degli utensili ci sarà un piccolo mondo, schiacciate sul mondo e selezionate per favore il canale italiano. Grazie.
Grazie. Portuguese, please.
Boa tarde a todos. Para aqueles que ainda não selecionaram um canal de idioma, necessariamente precisa escolher um idioma, clicar em intérpretes, língua, idiomas, escolher português. Muito obrigado.
Russian, please.
Пожалуйста, выберите свой язык в иконке с глобусом внизу экрана. Если вы итальянский, выберите итальянский, португальский, русский, фарси, французский или испанский. Пожалуйста, выберите свой язык, кликая на иконку с глобусом. Спасибо.
Super. Farsi, please.
دوستان خواهش میکنم که زبان مورد نظرتون همینطور که دوستمون تیم از همون خواسته از همون گزینه کروی شکل زبان مورد نظر رو فارس رو انتخاب بکنید. Thank you so much, team.
My pleasure, my friend. French, please. Could we hear from the French translator, please? I'm just going to move on to the Spanish translator, please.
Buenas tardes a todos, sean todos bienvenidos. Si usted se acaba de integrar a la reunión de webinario, le solicitamos de que si usted requiere traducción y escuchar el webinario en su idioma, le pedimos que vayan al globo, escuchan, para escuchar la traducción en su idioma, necesitan escoger el idioma español. Sean todos bienvenidos y muchas gracias. Thank you.
Gracias. I'm just going to circle back to the French translator. Is that possible?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was muted. Do I need to be on the English one or the French one for this bit?
See, that's a good question. Steve.
Okay. Yes, English, please. Yes,
English, please.
Bonjour. Alors, je suis votre traducteur en anglais, en français, et pour que vous activez, pour avoir la traduction en français, vous faites clic sur le bouton le symbole du globe avec interprétation. Merci.
Thanks, everyone. I'm just going to do a brief announcement. Unfortunately, due to technical issues, which we all seem to have experienced today, we are unable to stream this on YouTube at the moment. If that does change, I'm sure someone will let me know. But as we speak, it is unavailable on YouTube. So accept the things we cannot change, right? Okay, we're excited to bring you news about two developments today. We posted a draft outline of a virtual meetings best practices tool. Thank you to everyone who filled out the survey we posted on the project webpage last year. The responses to the survey, along with the locally developed tools we have received, enable us to create the outline, which is posted on the project webpage, www.na.org/toolbox. We're seeking your thoughts and ideas in response to this draft, and we'll post revised versions as it develops. These will be dated so we can keep you all up to date with the latest versions. One of the topics included in the outline is literature distribution. A number of meetings have assigned a member to the task of mailing a collection of IPs to those who identify as newcomers. This is a good time to remind you all of a simple piece of literature that may help with this. An introductory guide to Narcotics Anonymous was created in the 90s as a low-cost alternative to the basic text. It's easily shipped, cheap to buy, and contains 10 IPs and chapter 4 of the basic text. We've also posted a second survey that any member, group, or service body can participate in. We heard your feedback that the last survey was a little long, so we're offering something shorter this time. In this new survey, we are seeking to gather your experience about how virtual meetings are connecting to the service structure and participating in the NA service system. The other topic we'd like to ask you about in the survey is whether you believe virtual meetings should be recognised as NA groups. Some of you have been asking this for this conversation and decision for some time now. The approach we've taken at NA World Services is to provide information about web and phone-based meetings on the meeting search page at na.org and on the meeting and on the NA meeting search app, but not to register them as groups until we receive the direction from the fellowship on whether it's the appropriate course of action. We want to be sure that whatever steps we take are deliberate, careful, and reflect the conscience of the whole fellowship. Now that most members have experience with virtual meetings, we believe the time has come to frame this discussion for the World Service Conference next year. And the survey seems the simplest way to ask members of the fellowship to share their thoughts. We're seeing a range of different approaches in different parts of NA. Some service bodies consider virtual meetings to be for participants, while others don't. As you know, the group booklet lists 6 points that identify an NA group, and we would like to ask members of the fellowship whether they believe virtual meetings meet the criteria to be NA groups. Those 6 points are based on our traditions and are on your screen now. I'm also going to read that section of the group booklet for us now. What is an NA group? When two or more addicts come together to help each other stay clean, they may form a Narcotics Anonymous group. Here are 6 points based on our traditions which describe an NA group. 1. All members of a group are drug addicts, and all drug addicts are eligible for membership. 2. As a group, they are self-supporting. 3. As a group, their single goal is to help drug addicts recover through application of the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. 4. As a group, they have no affiliation outside Narcotics Anonymous. 5. As a group, they express no opinion on outside issues. 6. As a group, their public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We have included a question about this topic in the survey on the project webpage. On the topic of providing information about virtual meetings, we're happy to let you know that we've made it easier for virtual meetings to share their details with us. The process we've used for many years to gather information about in-person meetings has never been a good fit for virtual meetings. And the last year has shown us all too clearly that something more user-friendly is needed. The link to the new form is on the top of the virtual materials page, www.na.org/virtual. Now we're going to hear from members involved in virtual meetings in different NA communities. So you're going to get a break from my voice. As we said previously, we're seeing a range of different practices in the fellowship. And this next part of today's meeting should give you a taste of some of this experience. Thank you to all the members who are here to share with us. After they share their experience, we'll have time for questions and answers. Again, if you have a question, you can type it into the Q&A box at the bottom of your Zoom screen. We will see your questions, and after the presentations, the presenters will respond to as many as we can get to. We are only able to respond to questions typed in English on this particular webinar. But of course, we welcome any questions emailed to toolbox@na.org. Please try to keep your questions brief. If it's a complicated question or experience you want to share, again, please email it to that email address, toolbox@na.org. Today we have 7 presentations, each of which will be 5 to 7 minutes. To our presenters, you'll get a minute's warning when it's time to wrap up. As I'm constantly being reminded, please remember to speak slowly. We are being translated. Hopefully I've done okay at that today. Now, Brian, are you ready? Because first, Brian from the No Matter What group is going to share with us.
Thanks, Tim. I'm an addict. My name is Brian. I'm definitely...
Hey, Brian.
Honored to be here. I want to thank Nick for reaching out. I got my timer. I'm a big share of the time guy. So Nick had reached out to me and asked for me to come on and just share our experience here. We're in Philadelphia. So I just want to jump right in, and I got a few things I want to talk about and then get right out of the way. And I'm like a date nerd, So I just remember critically last year on March, was it March 13th, was a Friday. That's when my home group meets, and we got the person who runs the facility where we meet called me and said we can't meet there until further notice. And that night, we were looking into options on what to do. And at that time, he had said it was going to be for 2 weeks. So none of us really at that time envisioned this. So there was some other members of the Greater Philadelphia region, specifically the downtown area, that really jumped into motion and for their area created, you know, meetings on a digital platform for all their groups. My experience was, I'd never even heard of any kind of digital platform or anything, you know, and I had a woman named Darcy T from out Washington who had called and asked me to share. She said, hey, we want you to share on Zoom tomorrow night on Sunday. And I was like, I have no idea what that is. I'd never even heard of that platform. But on Sunday during the day, March 15th, there was some unofficial, kind of like training thing. I can't even remember who it was, but there was about 150 people and they were running us all through how to set up that platform, how to work it. And so just that first week was, and then I, long story short, I spoke Sunday night and then I started a meeting on Monday night called the No Matter What Group here in Philadelphia on March 16th, which somehow had 500 people in it from all over the world. And I remember having this, I was trying to hand out the readings and this guy from Ireland, you know, decided to read how it works. And I remember just bringing tears to my eyes, thinking about how overnight that Narcotics Anonymous missed no beats and connected globally. You know, it gives me goosebumps now even just talking about it. But that first, those first few weeks were really rocky, at least here in Philadelphia. And, you know, the first trick was figuring out how to navigate the digital platform. And not only for us, I'm a techie guy, that came quickly, but for a lot of our members, it wasn't necessarily about navigating it. It was learning how to educate everybody overnight, which my wife was not happy about because I was doing 80-hour weeks trying to educate everybody that we could. And what we did is we made a lot of YouTube. I made a bunch of YouTube tutorial videos. And then the other challenge after that was, after navigating the digital platform, trying to educate our people, was creating a single point of or multiple points of a place of information where we could share this, you know, to the masses. And I would be remiss to not mention how social media played a vital and continues, at least in you know, a vital role in getting this information out. So I created this a Facebook group called Quarantined NA Philadelphia, which really wasn't anything original. I mimicked a woman named Gina, who I feel needs to be mentioned, who created a group called Quarantined NA that currently has almost 50,000 members. And so there's a few groups like that, Quarantined NA, Quarantined NA Philadelphia, Quarantine NA Florida, Southern California, that have thousands of members that still every day are putting up posts every day with flyers and these wonderful designed speaker jams. And, so social media was and has been crucial, you know, to us being able to teach, you know, learn what we were doing, share the information with each other. And then not only, you know, our first tradition talks about surviving, but I feel like we've done more than survive. We've thrived in spite of the difficulties and unseen, you know, unseen barriers, you know, that the COVID-19 has presented us with. And, you know, I just want to mention there was a few, me and a guy named Jimmy Jam from out in California, we were able to put together this, you know, we're talking about things that we were unable to do prior, that this that we've been able to do. Like, we put together this history day where Jimmy connected with a bunch of guys out in California who had a bunch of years, and I was able to bring a bunch of guys, I see you, Nick, bring a bunch of guys from out on the East Coast who had a, you know, a bunch of years, a friend of ours named Dutch, God rest his soul. And we had 1,000 people come to that and 15,000 streaming on the YouTube. You know, just unseen gifts that this has given us. I also was able to talk to a guy named Aaron C., who started the international 24-hour, 7-day-a-week meeting. This guy started this meeting that every hour on the hour, they have a meeting digitally. So, you know, there's thousands of people that are getting help through this 24-hour international meeting. So it's been absolutely wonderful. It's been challenging.
Sorry, Brian. Slow down.
Please slow down.
Slow down
for the translations.
Please slow down. Thank you.
I know in the future that we're going to be, you know, that two addicts coming together is a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And especially as long as they're following the 12 traditions, whether it's in person or now digitally. So I'm glad that the fellowship has come together to address these concerns. And I look forward to being part of that conversation moving forward. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, Brian. Outstanding. That was great. Next, Dan is going to tell us about virtual support forum that several groups have come together to organize. Over to you, Dan.
Hey, everybody. I'm an addict named Dan. Just a little background, you know, part of Quarantine NA, and we just celebrated a year last night, actually. And it was interesting because we would all fellowship for a while after hours. You know, we'd have the room open all day, and several conversations with Gina and other members of the fellowship talking about what the future of the fellowships looks like. You know, and that at one point we had pulled out of the Seattle service structure.
Dan, can you please slow down?
Members of the group. And it was.
Can you please slow down?
Please slow down for the translators. Please slow down for the translators.
I'll do my best. And what does the future for Narcotics Anonymous look like with virtual meetings? How do we serve the groups? Because we realized that with all the members in the groups who are international, you know, we need to find a service structure that fit that. And after Gina passed, one day we were asked to speak about the meeting at Western Service Learning Day this past year. And I talked about the vision that Gina and I had about what a virtual, you know, future looks like. And a few other groups got interested in discussing topics like this and where we could meet. So that's where the virtual support forum came into play, you know? And we meet the last Sunday of the month at 12 Pacific time. And next slide. Here's a little background. You know, for years, there have been virtual meetings. I think there was around 200 virtual Narcotics Anonymous meetings before the pandemic hit. And questions for a long time have been how they fit into the service structure. Some are part of existing service structures. Other groups neither want to connect to the existing service structure, and many groups question their role in Narcotics Anonymous. And over the past year, there have been several workshops and webinars like this devoted to asking these kind of questions. So I appreciate being asked, the VSF being asked to speak here and our experience. Next slide, please. So what is the VSF? The VSF was created by NA members to bring together virtual communities to listen and learn about the communities. We made it explicit that this is not brought about by like NAWS or people who are like anti-NAWS. We made sure that this was a place where addicts and people representing groups can come and discuss topics and get connected and share experience and share concerns. And the big thing, let's see. Yeah, a big thing that we talked about was trying to start that grassroots kind of connection, the grassroots movement where, next slide. And this is one of the big things talking about our goals. You know, one of the things at the bottom of the slide talks about our perception about form follows function. We did not want to try and put things into a box or say, this is how it relates to what we currently have going on. We wanted to see the concerns that the fellowship has as a whole and how we could start to formulate things together like that. Like I saw one of the questions that was asked in the Q&A, because I like looking at the chat coming up, was someone mentioning cost, you know, and we had someone from New York talk about that. One of the ideas we've always talked about was if we could have one license shared by
Nice and slow, please, Dan.
Pardon?
Sorry. Just a bit slower, thanks.
I'm from New York. I'm going to do my best.
Just do your best.
Cost and how one meeting that may meet once a week or even once a day, how we could utilize that to maximize. If we're paying rent for that whole space, how can we utilize that for, say, multiple groups? Some groups that may not be able to afford the $15 a month license, and how can we pool our resources together? Next slide. So our first think tank happened, and we had about 65 participants. We had about five of the, you know, more established groups come and present. And then from there, we broke off into two rooms to kind of spitball ideas on what things look like. Some concerns were, of course, how we fit in the service structure. What about Seventh Tradition? Next slide, please. And then we discussed that we'd come back together. So we have a think tank that meets biweekly, and we discussed the ideas of how to set up for the next think tank. And some of the things we came up was with utilizing the best that Zoom has to offer. We would utilize breakout rooms to break off into ideas like-
Slow, please, sir. Going way too fast, Steve.
For their own group.
Dan, so, I'm sorry to interrupt you again. You have to slow down, buddy.
It's so fast. Sorry, it's so fast.
So we broke off into multiple rooms. One would be for guidelines. Another room would be for Seventh Tradition, because there's issues like Canada not being able to utilize Venmo, and some groups solely utilize Venmo. So how to start identifying issues and how to identify solutions through that. And the beauty of that was that we let the group decide. We put together a list of about 10 ideas, and we posted it as a poll, utilizing the poll option in Zoom to see what people wanted to discuss. And from there, we took four ideas, created the breakout rooms, and then let the members, decide what room they wanted to join, and let them jump around between different rooms to discuss topics. And at the end, we gathered together to create a sort of Q&A and summarize the discussions. And some of the stuff we've talked about for our next virtual support forum happening at the end of the month is having a period of time set together to brainstorm certain ideas and break off into rooms to do that. Because I think when we get a couple addicts together that have great ideas, we can spitball into something greater. And next slide. There's the dates for the up. Please feel free to attend. We'd love to see as many people and groups represented. And there's our contact email. Please feel free to reach out. I'm very grateful to be here today. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Dan. And again, I'll just remind the presenters, nice and clear and slow, please. Now we are going to hear from Kim M. and Stuart S. from the Saturday night virtual speaker meeting in Washington State. Thanks, Kim and Stuart.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kim, and I'm an addict. I am the alternate GSR for the Saturday night's virtual speakers meeting. We are located north of Seattle and about 30 minutes south of the Canadian border in Washington State. And we're a part of the Washington, Northern Idaho region. So our virtual meeting, it is a 75-minute meeting with a 30-minute speaker. We get an average of about 30 to 40 attendees at each meeting. And we often have
treatments. So too fast, Steve, again, I'm sorry.
We often have treatment centers and recovery houses attending our meetings. A few weeks ago, a member who started coming to our meeting in treatment celebrated 1 year clean. And he considers our meeting his virtual home group. About half of those who attend regularly are from the local area, and the other half are from as far away as New Zealand, Portland, California, and Nevada. We started our virtual meeting due to the pandemic in late March 2020. And several months later, the group realized that we would really like to continue as a permanent meeting. We recognize that the virtual meeting setting adds value and it meets needs in our community that otherwise would not be met. So while we understand that the virtual meeting doesn't replace in-person meetings, our meeting and others like it give access to those who may not be able to travel to an in-person meeting, possibly due to an illness, financial hardship, or being institutionalized. So after discussion within the group, we decided to attend the local area and asked to join the ASC. Those of us that attended that ASC meeting have been a part of this local area for 30 to 38 years. And we were unanimously welcomed to join the area and added to the area meeting schedule. We regularly attend our area service committee meetings, and we fully participate as a Narcotics Anonymous group. It's our group conscience that we believe it's vital to be a part of the service system. And it was logical to us that we make that connection in a location where many of the home group members reside. So next, I'd like to turn it over to Stuart, who's our treasurer, to share a little bit more about our group and about our seventh tradition message and the success of our approach. Thank you.
Well, thank goodness I turned off the mute before I started speaking. I usually forget to do that. Thanks, Kim. And you probably should have let me go first so you could clean up afterwards. But what a great message. So our seventh tradition message is this, that whether we're dealing with COVID online, I got your message already, Tim. I'm slowing down. I saw you take the mute off and knew what was coming. So whether we're in virtual, online, or in-person type of things, that our services must go forward and that we must carry the message to the addict that still suffers. We are currently encouraging everybody that participates with our group to go to na.org/contribute. And we also encourage everybody to set up monthly recurring donations because A, it's one less thing to worry about each month. And B, it's an important part of our responsibility to make sure that the fellowship, our services, and our message is available to those that are coming behind us. So that's our message on the seventh tradition. We are preparing, we have utilized through the service structure some of the best practices in terms of how to get an EIN and set up, you know, some PayPal accounts and stuff. We've not implemented that at the group yet. Our contribution with the area involves some, we do some cost sharing. We actually pay for the Zoom account that the area participates with. And we meet Saturday nights from 7 to 7:15 or 8:15 West Coast Pacific time. So you can catch our meeting in a little while. Tonight, we have an excellent speaker, but we don't need the account all week long. So the area is able to use it for some other things. I want to highlight one or two things that Kim had said is we've had members participate from H&I settings, and we make a special point of highlighting their participation, getting them to share, and making them feel inclusive. There's a temptation for some of us that have been around for a while to want to tell them what they need versus listening to what they need. What became clear to us, the member, and I'll not break his anonymity except to say Tommy, and we did virtual cupcakes with candles in them for his 1 year last week. I cheated. I have a keto protein bar and I stuck a candle in it. And I think I'm in trouble with the group, but fortunately we're on Zoom. So I haven't had to deal with those consequences in person. But Tommy has helped guide us in a lot of our decisions along the way, because most of us can't imagine what it would be like to get clean, never have gone to that first meeting and be able to pick up the white chip in person. We mail chips to everybody that comes, but not be able to get that first hug. So it's an interesting experience. But we also see our virtual group as being able to serve post-COVID times, because we've had members that are homebound with illnesses and other mobility issues, being able to get to regular NA meetings, that we're able to reach out to them. One of the things that we think is important for being part of the service structure is connecting with H&I. All of us in recovery know that treatment is one small start in a process. So being able to reach people in an H&I setting is not the end of the story, but just how we introduce them to NA. How do we then connect them up with what the pathway to recovery looks like, and being able to connect them up with meetings where they live, sponsorship, phone numbers, and into the greater fellowship is an important part of how our area helps us and we're able to help the area. What we hope is that post-COVID, that the things that we've learned with being able to connect this way allows areas to have maybe a mixture of some virtual meetings, maybe some hybrid meetings where we're able to reach some of those people that can't get access to regular NA meetings as readily as some of us can. I think we're probably running up on time. I didn't see a thing there, but I will say that that we really appreciate the opportunity to do this. I did have a bullet point that I wanted to share on the importance of our intellectual property. So we've been very slow and steady. We recognize that the fourth tradition reminds us that each group is autonomous, but also that that they need to take into account how we affect other groups in NA as a whole. So on the online world, when we would do a flyer in the old days that might affect other groups, it could have an effect on the groups. In an online virtual world where everything's connected, we can really impact NA as a whole in a lot better, bigger way. So we're trying to take everything very slow and easy, and we really appreciate the toolkits that are being built and the guidance that we were getting. And I had a point on the intellectual property and how to do a virtual, sorry.
Sorry, Stuart, that you're a bit over, my friend. Sorry.
Okay. Thing, but I see that go look at the toolbox on how to do a digital pamphlet list. Thank you.
Thank you, Stuart. Thanks, Kim. That was fantastic. I love your home group. Big fan. Now we're going to hear from Solomon and Muhammad in Egypt about the efforts in their community to organize virtual services between groups.
Thank you, Tim. Hello, everyone. I'm Benedict. My name is Suleiman. This is the first time to speak about service in English, so it's a holy experience for me. Okay. I am grateful for being here with you. I would like to thank everyone who worked on this webinar. I am a trusted servant in my virtual home group that started almost a year ago since the start of this pandemic. Throughout our virtual experience, we found that there is a need for establishing a service body that can gather all the Arabic virtual NA groups to share our experience together. We proposed the idea to 6 virtual groups in their service meetings. They agreed about the idea and the initiative. Therefore, we organized another meeting in which 2 delegates from each group joined us. We agreed about several decisions in this meeting. We will make a guideline and some members volunteer to participate in writing the guideline draft, then send it to the groups to review it. And we agreed about collective workshops between all of us to create a spirit of unity and to start meet regularly. Also, we agree about following a clear NA message using the steps, the traditions, and the concepts. For sure, there is challenges we have in this area since this is a new experience and it needs flexibility for sure. We start to communicate with NAUS using the website to start looking for materials regarding this topic. And we establish a communication with the transit region. They already had a good experience. They started about 6 years ago. Also, I would like to thank Nick because he provided a lot of support. And really, this is touching me because it shows that this is a strong message, really, regarding the geographical borders. It is reachable, and it's our duty to make it more reachable. Since we had a lot of experience in our meetings, show it that it's not something temporary. It should be permanently exist. Since we had these cases, I remember this touching experience, someone who joined the meeting and he asked to share, and then he presented himself with a name like X. And then when he started his share, another member was sharing. And this was like shocking to me because the other guy was in the prison. And for somehow they have a phone, mobile, and they connect with each other. And the guy had like the access like to be in a meeting. So this was like a very strong experience for me, and it evolved my whole point view or my vision toward virtual meeting. Some challenges as well we have in this topic, that regions and areas around us within our geographical range does not see it like an official NA meeting. There was the need that we created with ourselves, with the help of everyone. As well, the point of the seventh tradition. In my home group, we already independent with our seventh tradition, and we would love to share it with other groups because it's independency showed the growth of our home group. And that's as well one of the main points why we need it, to meet every month with other groups, discuss some problems or challenges. And if we have solutions we've been through before, we can pass this experience so we can elevate the whole consciousness. One of the other things, the lack of experience of in the service in general, some of us start to serve in virtually. We never had this experience before. So that's why as well we need these workshops to speak more and discuss more about our traditions and the concepts. As well, the point of the literature distributions. We do our best to guide the newcomers or the members. If there is a physical home groups around us in the geographical range, we do our best in this point, and we try to think about guiding them through the NAUS website because they can buy the literature. The group of those who start to write that guideline, we decided that we divide it into pieces, like some parts, like the technical parts. We will write it down together, review it together, then send this draft to the groups to approve it. And we will share some other things with the groups so they can give us their feedback, like the definition of the group. Because for sure it's written in the GLS, but we have to make it equivalent or like suitable with the virtual existence. As well, the vision and the goal, the duties of this structure. I believe that it might not be the best thing. Thank you, Tim. Best thing to start with, to start write the guideline, but when you gather with a lot of people, you have to like facilitate things, and the more will reveal in the future and so on, because no one had the full experience. No one had. It started with a very good intentions. Higher power for sure is working in a mysterious way, and more things happen like this webinar. We never knew that we can connect with all these people, which I'm really grateful to be here with you guys. it makes me feel like I'm in the right place with the right people. Regardless where I am in my continent or my country, we can make it like a big one group or big one same NA message and reachable for all of us. Future visions, we are looking to grow. More groups will join us, help current new virtual group and provide assistance and experience. Out of challenges we overcame through our start, support more learners in different countries because we had this, more join us and help them to start even their physical or virtual meeting in their location by the assistance of us. As well, I'm really, me personally, I'm looking to have like in the future, like a translation committee. There is a lot of resource in nows and things like that, which will help us all as groups, as well FD and outreach committee in the future. Our existence in virtually, so for sure we will need in the future social media committee, information system committee, things like that. But for sure everything we do based on our needs. So I like this word, let's see what tomorrow will bring us. And I hope it will bring us all a hope and make it a better place for all of us. I'm really grateful to be here with you guys. And thank you for all your effort, Nick, and everyone in this meeting. And thanks everybody for listening to me. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Salman and Mohammed. We're grateful to have you here too. Excellent. Next, we have Anna to share about Quarantined NA San Diego group. Thanks, Anna.
Hi, I'm Anna and I'm an addict.
Hey.
It's an honor to be here. And I'm grateful that we're having this much needed conversation. Thanks for putting this together. Okay. Our group is Quarantine NA San Diego, and we're also known as QNASD. We have 32 meetings a week with 120 service positions. We get about 10 to 20 newcomers a day. We mail out white key tags and little white books to the newcomers. We provide ASL interpretation for our deaf community. We have firsthand experience of the beauty, the resiliency, the expansion, and the growth NA has in this new age. I have been amazed and watching the magic happen before my eyes. I'm going slow. Is this slow enough? Okay. In March last year, I was in a panic about things shutting down. And as addicts, well, where were we going to do, you know, where were we going to go with our lifeline being cut off from us? I was scrambling to find a solution. I heard of online meetings before, but I didn't even know where to start. I reached out to our regional web servant, and that wasn't much help. I looked online, and I came across Quarantined NA Seattle. There was a bright young person leading the meeting who was quarantined in their apartment. I was witness and taking part of the second meeting of Q&A. The therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. This beautiful, vivacious, creative soul gave me information to help me create a meeting in my region. I would like to recognize Gina, who has since passed in a tragic car accident. We were birthed from their service, and Q&A is the midwife to QNASD. We are really grateful for Q&A support. Thank you. QNASD has taken on a life of its own. We put meetings in the regional schedule for San Diego on the website. But we noticed when we put our meetings in virtualna.org, we took off. All the newcomers found us through virtualna.org. So thank you, Jay, for your service to addicts all over the world. what started as a temporary pop-up meeting has turned on to a full-on thriving group of addicts, mostly newcomers. So newcomers were hearing, go to 90 meetings in 90 days, work the steps, do service. We realized that if we were telling newcomers to do service, we needed to provide that for them. Our group decided that you do not need clean time. There's no clean time requirement to do service at QNASD. We do suggest that you get a sponsor and are currently working steps. This got people on the ball to get sponsors. We have a few experienced members who stick around to help guide the newcomer. This helped keep the newcomer involved and help, you know, making them feel that they're part of something bigger. As we grew, we realized certain positions need experienced members, like chairing a business meeting. This was important. However, we continue to have a newcomer-based and operated group. Out of the 120 service positions, 90 of them are done with people who have under a year clean. And it was even less than that in the beginning. They keep coming back. We are watching them celebrate clean time and are amazed. Some of them who have never been to an in-person meeting ever. I started this in a pinch and was convinced it would last a couple months. We realized that this was a power greater than us at work. Now I'm a huge supporter of the online platform. Since I've gotten to see the miracle of Narcotics Anonymous before my eyes, no matter how we are meeting, I'm convinced that online meetings are here to stay. We are coming up with at our 1 year anniversary on the 15th. And the entire time our focus has been on the newcomer. Our group has often been referred to as newcomers gone wild. As our group grew larger and larger, we realized this is not temporary. So how do we fit into the normal service structure? We had business meetings and several discussions. I even proposed that we join an existing area in San Diego. We asked the beach area if they'd be willing to go hybrid for us at the ASC. The beach area would welcome us with open arms. However, the group felt like they would be stuck in a geographic area. How is that going to work for the home group members in Paris, London, Canada, or other US states? The group voted that down and continues to function as is until we can figure things out. We are donating the Seven Tradition money after expenses to the San Diego region. Got it. Our group has talked about how our online needs may be different than those in person. We're not limited to geographic areas or regions. We are limited to languages and time zones. There has been talk about virtual regions. My thoughts may have been very limited in my 32 years of clean time. It was limited to what I already knew, the service structure that we have. The young members seem to be thinking outside the box. I'm confident that our fellowship will continue to grow with the times and will be better for it. With all this being said, we realize that meetings are not available. Meetings are now available to us all with the touch of a screen and the click of a mouse. Our expansion is tremendous and we can access the world. But one of the reasons we provide an ASL interpreter is we noticed that most of us thinking that this is available to us all. We are all talking about how we could go anywhere in the world. This is not so. What about those who cannot hear? Online platform has been more difficult for those members to navigate. Also members who don't have internet access. We are interested to see how the momentum continues after in-person meetings are back on track. This group wants to stay alive and continue to carry the message to addicts who find online meetings to work much better than the in-person meetings for their recovery. We have many members who've never been to an in-person meeting and may not like in-person recovery. We have grown and are rolling with the times. As an online community, we can help each other with solutions and resources. I would love to see us create more support for online communities in Narcotics Anonymous. I have no idea what that looks like, but together we can. Thanks for letting me
share. Thank you so much, Anna. We're looking forward to your input in the survey and very sorry to hear about your friend passing. Okay, next up we have Rusty from the stay-at-home group in Alabama. Over to you, Rusty.
Hello, my name is Rusty. I am an addict. My home group is stay-at-home NA. The list that you showed of what it means to be a group, my group fits that. Stay-at-home started, Kelly's going to have to help me out, it's either 2016 or 17. We had a lady who couldn't get, an old-timer lady, who couldn't get to meetings. So we created a meeting with, oh, it was that one that Microsoft bought. It kind of died away, but it was before Zoom. And as soon as you had the 10th person join video, all video shut off. So it was all very small, and it was a meeting. And that's all it was. And she had cancer and passed. And then the group almost died, but it kept going once a week. My sponsor's mother got dementia and he couldn't go to meetings. So we started it up again. I got back involved because I had kind of slipped away. And it's been going strong ever since. We joined the Zoom in 2018. I went back and looked to see when our account started. Zoom first came out because it was inexpensive and it worked. And you could have more than, you know, 9 people and have video. And we met once a week. We decided to become a group. And we sent we elected a GSR. And I'm not going to tell you what state he was in, but he went to their area and they're like, what? You're an online group? You want to join our area? We don't think so. So we found us an area, it happened to be here where I live in North Alabama, that would seat us as a group and take our money. Go figure, you know. Other groups wouldn't, the other areas, because it wasn't heard of. I mean, you couldn't be a group if you didn't have a physical address. It was a brand new concept. We met once a week on Wednesdays or Thursdays, I can't remember which, and we had 12, 15 people every week. Some would jump in and out. We would have people celebrate clean time. We had some shut-ins, mostly around the South here, some in Memphis, and then COVID hit. And we went from a meeting on one Thursday with 12 people. And we didn't know, I didn't know, our account was limited to 100 people. And I opened up the meeting. I thought, well, this quarantine thing, maybe we'll get a few more members. And I opened up a half an hour early and we hit 100 like that. And I had to go online and spend the money and, of course, the group reimbursement, all that stuff, and get opened up. And we hit over 300 people. And so imagine your home group where you sit, having 12 people a week, and then all of a sudden, 300. It was a change. We decided to increase our meetings to 5 meetings a week, and we've been meeting 5 meetings a week since then. It's back down to 25 to 30. And recently, and this is kind of where we're an online-only group, always have been. Current GSR lives in Dallas, Texas. Our treasurer lives in Gunnersville, Alabama. I live in right outside of Huntsville. Our secretary lives in Boaz. We have other home group members that live in Colorado, Connecticut, New Jersey, Philadelphia. And we have one guy who comes regular, calls us his second home group, and he lives in South Africa. And they come from all over. They call us one of the best kept secrets on the internet. We get steady 30 people, 25, 15, somewhere in that range, depending on what night of the week it is. We collect a seven tradition with a PayPal account. And if you make it a gift, it's some nominal charge. And we pay for our room. We send key tags and medallions to people celebrating. We have a speaker meeting to celebrate birthdays once a month. We mail them to them if they want them. We work real hard with a newcomer in a local area to get them connected in their local area, because we realize that we can't, you know, sending them books and literature and that kind of stuff. They need to go to an in-person meeting if they can. Of course, now there are some, so they can go to some in-person meetings. They can connect in their local area with their local virtual online meetings. We have recently, as of January the 1st, joined a new area that was started, and this area embraces onlineness. Online groups. The area has met virtually since it started. I'm hoping I'm speaking slow enough. It will eventually meet in person, but it will also always be online. We haven't solved all our problems. This new area was started to address, to speak slowly and to only have 7 minutes and to have waited 4 years to say what I have to say is difficult. But I acknowledge your 1 minute. Because I got a lot I want to say. This is a new world. We haven't solved all the problems, but we will solve them as they come up, just like if this were in person. We're an online group. We will stay an online group. We will have members from all over. We will help them connect in their local areas. We will be a part of the service structure as much as the service structure will let us be a part of. We are looking into how to take meetings into facilities, HNI facilities. This new area is focused on HNI first. It was one of the reasons it started was that the distance between us and the other section, it was time. It was time to grow. It was time to split. They welcomed it. We welcomed it. I was speaking with Nick, I believe, and he said, how do you deal with money? How do you deal with, you know, people who need services? If you have an online, because my area will let your online group join it if you want to. If you can't get representation in your local area, we will let you join. So how do we deal with the locality of the services? We don't know yet. We'll do everything we can to help out, whatever that takes. We have people getting clean and staying clean. And as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of other folks, you know, this thing, this onlineness has saved my life for the last 4 years and it has been my home group for the last 3 years. Not counting the last year we just did. So even before that, I've celebrated my last 4 birthdays at Stay at Home, and I will celebrate my next one at Stay at Home. I'm glad to be here. Thank you. I think I hit my 7 minutes, bro.
Thank you, Rusty. Fantastic. You spoke perfectly. And I'll also just remind you that there'll be plenty of other opportunities to impart your wisdom with us, including the survey. And please email us everything at toolbox.na.org. That one. Okay, our last presenter today is Beverly from the internationally known Recovery Group. Over to you, Beverly.
Hi, family. I'm Beverly, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. Hi. Thank you to all the presenters. You all did a wonderful job. And thank you for putting this webinar on, guys, because I really enjoyed it. I believe that it is well needed. And so, yes, my name is Beverly B. I'm a grateful recovering addict. My home group, virtual Zoom home group, is IKR, the acronym for Internationally Known Recovery. We meet 7 days a week, 8 p.m. at night Eastern Standard Time. Internationally known recovery came about through the pandemic. Our date is the 14th, we began. My sponsees, once the pandemic, everything in New York began to shut down, they said, well, sponsor, you should start us a meeting. And I already had a Zoom account, so we had a meeting, and every day people from different states came to the meeting. About maybe 3 weeks later, we formed our actual group by going to the region because we had no area up on Zoom platform yet. So the region was up, and I asked to be able to function as a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And we got sanctioned by the region, and we functioned. We had a meeting, a business meeting. We formed a name with this IKR name as our group's name, and we continued. Now, I wanted to answer Rusty's question or just give my experience on how do we deal with money through, you know, different states. Because we meet from Bermuda, we have seven different you call them hosts, which chair people nightly from seven different states, right? New York, California, Virginia, Florida, North Carolina, and Bermuda. Whatever night they serve the chairperson from that state, whatever funds come in through Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, Zelle, goes to that particular group person's area. Basically, we have maybe 63 service members, people doing service, watching out for bombers, co-hosts, you know, and the whole, you know, all the different service positions. Being that I was, you know, started the meeting, you know, an addict alone is in bad company, so I take no credit. I thank God that we were able to come together and form a actual group. And in my experience doing service, I knew it was important to have all the different committees, subcommittees that we have in the brick and mortar, or in the actual meetings, or on the virtual platform. We've developed that in our policy. We developed a policy, and we have used every single subcommittee that we would normally have. Our predecessor's hard-won experience is very important. There are so many questions about geographics. There were so many questions about the seventh tradition. The seventh tradition, we also send, we pay our region, and our GSR goes to the area here where I'm from, which is Queens, because this is where it originated. However, there's so many things still to tweak. As I listen to this webinar today, I have so many more ideas to bring back to the group. And I'm so excited about introducing other things, because even though we're gonna, you know, keep our structure, our Narcotics Anonymous structure, we're still going to expand on and tweak it to fit the virtual platform. So I'm really excited about the virtual platform. We've been, we're celebrating our first year anniversary on the 18th. IKR is listed in the Eastern New York region website on the portal, also in the Queens area. The information is listed, our flyer is there. And our anniversary will be a two-hour meeting, a three-hour meeting, had nothing to do with me. And out of the three-hour meeting, we will have the original group members in the end, and we will have the newcomers. And it was interesting how Anna said, and we talked about, and my condolences, Anna, as we talked about the newcomers. Newcomers have come onto the meeting and stayed clean. We have seven newcomers currently doing service. They have to have a certain, you know, I heard it said that they needed no clean time in one group in order to do service. We do have the co-host position, but positions, I acknowledge the 1 minute wind down time. The positions that need, you know, that you should have done steps and traditions to sit in, like chairperson and co-chair and treasurer, we do have clean time requirements for. So, you know, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using, and our primary purpose is still to carry the message to an addict who still suffers. So however we do it, as long as it gets done, you know, it's important. We have our H&I coming out of every state. Our H&I person goes to every state on our platform and invites the different H&I hospitals and institutions. So it's working out really well. Our meeting is large every night. We take in a nice amount of money that we donate to our areas. Each area probably gets about $60 a month. So, you know, this is working and it's here to stay, you know. Even when the door is open, the virtual meetings will continue. So, you know, that's me. Thank you so much for letting me share. Thank you all for your service.
Thank you, Anna, Beverly, sorry, thank you. And look, thanks everyone, it's been really inspiring. Some of the material from today will be posted on the virtual meetings webpage. That'd be at www.na.org/virtual. Please allow a bit of time for the staff to get that uploaded. It may take a matter of days. We continue to update the page as we produce new resources or as members send it in. So just check in regularly and you never know what new surprises will be there for the day. Now we're going to spend the next 10, we've got about 10 minutes or so to spend on questions and answers. We're asking just for questions related to the topic today. We have 32 open questions. I am going to attempt to kind of group them, and I will direct some of these questions to the presenters. Wish me luck with that. And also everything that is in the questions and answers chat will be captured, so we will use it. Additionally, we encourage you, as I was saying to Rusty, to please send in everything you've got, and we'll use that to form our new tools. And any specific questions you don't feel was answered today, write to us at worldboard@na.org. So our first question today, I'm going to direct this to Stuart and Kim. It is, there's a series of questions, and some of the presenters have already touched on it, like Beverly just did, on seventh tradition and where it should go. So one of the questions directly was, we are now contributing directly to NAWS. Is this a good way to go? This is the question. Stuart and or Kim?
Go ahead, Stuart. You're the treasurer.
Well, yes, I would say that the group should take a group conscience on how they're doing the donation. There's a pamphlet on our fund flow that has some good guidance for a group to decide, you know, area, region in the world. Our group is doing some donations to our area and to the world, and we had a discussion of whether we needed to with the region, and the region is in financial support right now, in a position that they were less needy right now. I was particularly interested in some of these groups that do have the wide geographic region, and whether the last presenter, Beverly, was very interesting concept of being able to take donations that come in and do it to the area of the speaker or the chairperson for that night. So it sounds like there's a lot of broad ways to be able to resolve where your contributions go to after you pay your group's expenses, but it really comes back to the group making that group conscious and making that determination.
Thank you, Stuart. Next, I'm going to direct this one to Brian. The question, we formed a virtual area. I'm sorry. Brian, how do you feel about virtual areas? Have you contemplated that yet?
Yeah, we've had discussion surrounding them, because we've had the experience of what some of the other panelists have spoken about. We have home group members that are a part of our home groups that do not geographically live in our areas. So currently what we've been doing, and really that affects the seventh tradition probably more so than anything else, because the question, like Beverly brought, where do you donate the money? So what we've initially done, as we've been donating it to Philadelphia region, because that's where the meeting was started initially. So, but having a virtual area, we like the idea of it because it allows us to tackle things that we wouldn't have been able to tackle before. For instance, H&I. I mean, the ability to have however many H&I commitments you could have in one platform is something that we couldn't do before. We had to do one platform at a time, or one treatment center at a time, or now we can do 10, you know, in one night. So we're in the discussion about it. We're still behind the eight ball here in Philadelphia, as far as our area didn't get together until months into the pandemic. So, yeah, there's a lot of discussion about what this looks like moving forward and the potential to solve, you know, problems or meet new, not even problems, but be able to carry the message further digitally as a result of a virtual area than we could ever do before in a physical world.
Thanks, Brian. And we have had a lot of questions about Zoom accounts. So is it a problem for meetings to use a personal Zoom account? Can or do areas provide Zoom access for their meetings? Now, who would like to answer that question? Maybe Rusty, you've been at it for quite a while. Would you like to tackle this question? I'll read it again. Is it a problem for meetings to use a personal Zoom account? Can or do areas provide Zoom access for their meetings?
The way we did it was we created a stay at home at gmail.com account, and it has a password, and you know, with the Gmail account, you create the Zoom account. And then you have your trusted servants have the account information. When your trusted servants change, you change the password, basically. And a Zoom account has to be tied, you know, you can pay for it via a credit card or a debit card, and then that person get reimbursed. It could be tied directly to a PayPal account, if I'm not mistaken. I know this gets a little weird. Sometimes people have to step up who have the ability to say, put it on their credit card, and then get reimbursed by the group so that, you know, it gets paid once a month, or at stay at home, we buy it by the year because it's cheaper. But you elect your trusted service. They have to be trusted. You do that in real life. You give them all the money in real life, you know, at an area meeting, and it all goes into you trust them to take it to the bank, you know? So as long as you have multiple people with access, our GSR and our secretary and our treasurer, you know, all have access to just about everything. At least two have access to everything, so that we cover each other's behind, you know, basically. We've not done it with personal accounts because, no, we just hadn't done that yet. We hadn't had a need to.
Thanks, Russ.
That's all I got.
Thanks, mate. That was a great answer. I hope that covered a lot of that. I'm also just going to remind you all that the survey, please complete the survey. And a lot of that will address... So we've had questions along the lines that was kind of covered in the script and through the presentations. Why aren't virtual meetings groups? I can answer that. As we stated in earlier in the script, we are framing that for the World Service Conference 22. So it will be discussed. And you must appreciate these aren't NORS decisions. They're not World Board decisions. They're fellowship decisions. And we need everyone to take part in, because people, believe it or not, some addicts have different opinions. The survey you can find on na.org/toolbox. And again, email it toolbox@na.org. One of the questions in front of me is it possible to set up a Venmo or like under a group name, not an individual? That has sort of been answered by Rusty just then, but did anyone else have any information that they'd like to share on setting up accounts for groups?
Stuart. Yeah, Tim, I will note this, and this only applies in the US, so everybody that's, you know, your local laws and rules will vary, but in the U.S., you do not need to set up a organization or anything to get a employer identification number from the IRS, just like the Girl Scout club or something like that, or a soccer club might. So you can set up an EIN, you will need to have a couple of personal people. And then with that, you can, you know, do things that you would need a number that's not somebody's social security number to be able to go set those things up. So it is possible to do that. I don't know what it's gonna look like in Canada or France or Italy. So I think there's some ways to be able to. Most of the online payment things want to make sure there's a real person and not a bot from somewhere like Mars behind it. But I think there's some really good tools on those things on the toolbox that Tim had referenced.
Thanks, Stuart. And thanks, everyone. That were great questions. We are at a few minutes to the hour, so we will have to wrap things up. We'll summarize the questions that came up most frequently in this report about the webinar, and that'll be posted again on our virtual meetings page. And as I said earlier, the board and staff will be going through all these questions to help inform the project. This is very much a work in progress. The webinars and discussions we are all having together contribute towards the ultimate aim of the project, to develop tools that will serve local communities in their efforts to better carry the message. Before we close, I'd like to let you know about some more things that are happening in World Services. We usually take some time at the end of these webinars to give you a brief update about the activities at NA World Services. But today we're going to keep that part very short, as we'll be back here next week with the NAWS update webinar. This will be the first time we have offered one of these virtually open to any interested members, and we hope you'll be able to join us to hear more about the work at NA World Services. The flyer for the event is posted here at www.na.org/webinar. If you click the thumbnail, a larger image will open for you to download to download and repost or share. Please remember to check the time in your community as the clocks change from standard time to daylight savings in California tomorrow. Good to know. We also want to let you know that we'll be hosting a webinar on May the 1st to mark the annual service day. A panel of members from around the world will share their experience in all kinds of NA service, and there will be time for questions. We've come to the end. At the beginning of the meeting, when we were trying to sort out our technical difficulties, when Lib took over for me, we did acknowledge that our chair, Tali, died last month. This is our first event without Tali, and like a lot of people here, we're all grieving. The whole World Board's grieving. It's a tremendous loss to Tom, her loving partner, to the entire planet, to our fellowship, and to a lot of us individually as members. Again, I'd just like to ask for another moment's silence, and then we'll pray out with the Serenity Prayer. In remembrance of Tali, thank you.